different. That's somebody who adopts a fictional online persona on the internet to lure people into a relationship. This is our latest part in finding love online, and this is a particular downside. Catfishing is not illegal, but elements of the activity could be covered by different parts of the law. If a victim hands over money, the catfish, so-called, could be prosecuted for fraud. Yet last year, there were over 3,500 victims of online dating scams, or so-called romance fraud, with victims losing over £41 million. But if your loss isn't financial, is there anything you can do about it? Well, my next guest had a year-long relationship with a man calling himself Anthony Ray after meeting him on Tinder. But then she found out that everything she knew about him was wrong. His name was not Anthony, he wasn't single, and his profile picture wasn't of him, but of a Bollywood actor. She says he used her like a hotel with benefits under the disguise of a romantic, loving relationship. The police say, I'm sorry, but that's not illegal. So she's campaigning to change the law. Anna Rowe, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
And do let me say to listeners, if you are going to recognise anything in your life that Anna's talking about, do call us, get in touch, tell us about these online dating scam catfishy people. 08000 288 91. Email vine@bbc.co.uk. So it starts, as always, all these stories do, with you deciding to have a look at what's around online.
Absolutely, yeah. I'd had a successful relationship from online dating before, so I was confident that it was an okay platform to use. I tried all the big dating apps, and every time you go onto a new one, all the faces are the same. So when I had Tinder recommended to me, I was, oh, that's a hookup app, and everyone said, no, it's changed now.
Just as you're saying, I thought Tinder is, you get a face, you swipe, I don't want them, and if it's somebody you do want, then, you know, you head round the corner and you see them and you just have sex. But it's got a bit more civilised now, has it?
It's a lot more civilised, yeah, and there's a lot of really good success stories from there. Lots of long-term relationships, even marriages, and I've got friends that are on there, people that work in the police that I know that were on there, so that gave me some confidence. Also, it links to Facebook, which means that if you've got mutual friends with that person, it actually shows up on the profile so that you can go and ask about them first.
I see. Okay.
So it's quite good in that way.
And how did this fella Anthony Ray show up on Tinder?
So I wasn't particularly a serial swiper, and I didn't match with a great deal of people at all. Photos to me weren't that important. It was what was written underneath that I was interested in. And I noticed very quickly that people were quite explicit about what it was that they wanted from the dating, whether it was just a no strings attached fun. There were married guys on there that would say, don't judge me, looking for just looking for fun. And then there were people that said, not interested in hookups, looking for a long-term relationship. So as you went through the profiles, I came across this particular one. The photo was just a black and white photo, just looked nice, like a bit of a corporate photo. It was the wording underneath the guy had put in it, honest, genuine, looking for a long-term relationship, divorced father. He'd said he worked abroad, which was true, and that the bit that caught me at the bottom of the profile was that he said, dislike poor communication and mind games. And immediately to me, it made me think, he's been hurt before and he won't do that to me.
Right. So, and you started just chatting?
Yeah, we actually talked it was 3 to 4 weeks through the app, and then we exchanged phone numbers and we talked on WhatsApp for another couple of months. And it was after 3 months of chatting, because for me that's really important. I like to know that I've got some connection with somebody before I emotionally invest in meeting them.
Yeah. So that's quite a big run-in if you've got, 3 or 4 months of phone calls and
yeah, lots of phone calls, texting.
Mm, okay. Yeah. But you didn't have any radar go off at this point?
Not at all, no. The picture, as you've said, was actually a picture of a Bollywood actor, but I only saw that picture for a couple of weeks before I then actually had real pictures of him. And although the photo looked like a younger version of him, it wasn't that dissimilar. It was very cleverly chosen.
Okay. So at the moment, there's nothing to trouble you. And then no. At what point do you actually meet?
So we met 3 months later. It was the 6th of November, and it was August that I'd actually matched with him online. And from then on, he'd got me hooked very quickly. That whole 3 month period, I now know, was a grooming period. He was finding out about me. He was mirroring who I was to build trust. And from the moment that we met, we then saw each other a couple of nights a week. He would drive from London down to me in Canterbury, and then I would send him off in the morning with a packed lunch. He would never let himself be out of my thoughts. He would text me all through the day, phone calls. You know, he was like that guy that you always want to meet.
Oh my goodness. But at the moment, there's nothing that's gone wrong, right?
No.
So was he shady about any part of his life? Did he hide anything?
Not at all.
Did he boast about owning a yacht or anything like that?
No, the absolute opposite, actually. A lot of people think that, I know it's been reported in the press because I know his real occupation now, that I'd thought he was a high-flying city lawyer. But all he actually told me was that he worked in legal in aviation, and that he was divorced and starting from scratch again. So he'd left the house to his ex-wife because she looked after their boys all week while he was in London. He would travel back up to Yorkshire to see the boys at his parents' house at the weekends. He drove an old car. It was an old car that he used to fill the radiator up with water in the mornings. He only wore high street suits. There was nothing flash about him at all, and I liked that about him. I'm not materialistic, and if he had been really flashy, that wouldn't have been something that I was in on.
Okay, so far it's going well. He's round your place twice a week. You're doing the packed lunches. He's saying the right things. Was there any moment where something happened that made you think, oh, hang on, what's going on?
It wasn't until it's only afterwards I now know that he was very strategic with conversation that he dropped in to make me feel at ease. So I was just due. I was thinking about starting to ask him about potentially going and meeting his parents. And it was almost like, and this is what these people are like, they're very clever at reading you even before you've said things. And he preempted almost me asking by telling me that his mum had been diagnosed with cancer. And I was devastated for him. And this man, this 6 foot man, stood in front of me and cried when he told me that his mum had been diagnosed with cancer. What that did do was stop me thinking at all about asking to go and meet her. This woman was about to start undergoing cancer treatment and things. I wasn't ever going to put the pressure on. It was after our 6 month anniversary that he suddenly stopped coming. He'd told me it was because his mum had taken a turn for the worse and that things had got worse with her health. He begged me not to leave him. Anytime I said to him, are you sure it wouldn't be easier for us just to leave it and you come back when things are better for you? He just, again, this is just a difficult phase we're going through. Please don't leave me. The months passed and I got more and more paranoid. He knew that I'd been cheated on in the past and that paranoia had started to kick in. So it was October in 2016 that I actually reactivated my profile and went online, and very quickly I found him.
Oh, still online, still Tindering?
He was online still, yeah. I'd come off it as soon as we met.
So he basically vanishes and relaunches?
I don't think he ever came off.
Gosh.
Because what I now know, because I'm now one of 12 women that we know of.
12?
I'm one of 12. With this guy.
And his real name isn't Anthony Ray, I'm
no.
assuming.
No, okay. His real name is a good twist. A good twist. But, yeah.
All right, fine.
So,
Anthony Ray has, 12, I'm just factoring that in, because this comes not from a place where you have been in a bad relationship and then he turns out to be even worse than you thought. This comes from you having been in something that seemed quite beautiful for a while.
It did. Yeah, it was. It was lovely.
And you did you go deeper and deeper and just trying to work out who he was?
Yeah, it was a couple of days after I'd discovered that he wasn't who he said he was. It just randomly came up online about reverse image searches, and because I'd found him back online, I'd screen grabbed that original photo because I'd not seen it for over a year. And I ran it through a reverse image search, and then it came up that it was this Bollywood actor, Saif Ali Khan, who I'd never heard of because I didn't know any Bollywood actors, and nor did any of the other women that had seen it online, but it was chosen specifically for that reason. And then I started reading the history of this Bollywood actor, and there were some similarities with that. And although he'd blocked me on WhatsApp because I'd found him out, he hadn't blocked my number, and I texted him. And I said, Saif Ali Khan, who is this? What, you know, what have you been doing? And I kept in touch with him as myself, randomly asking, because at that point I was spiralling, wondering what on earth was going on.
Really upset.
Yeah. Trying to make sense of how this had happened to me. You know, how would he manage to hook me? But at the time, I'd thought he was just a player. I didn't know anything else about him. And I looked for him online in more depth because all I knew of him was the fake set of social media accounts that he had. He had fake emails, he had fake Skype accounts. But other than that, I then realised I couldn't find anything deeper on Anthony Ray. Friends said to me, he's been alone in your house. Do you know if he's managed to see any of your bank things? You know, we don't know who this guy is. And at that point, I hired a private investigator who couldn't find anything.
Really?
No, they found nothing on him at all.
They knew who he was.
No.
Right.
They couldn't find him at all. He'd really covered his tracks very, very well. So it was, I kept matching with him. This is when we realised that he was constantly online grooming. And that's the behaviour behind this. It is adult grooming. So he was constantly online grooming, and because of that, I managed to match with him with friends' profiles 6 times before we actually found him. I was feeding the private investigator with any information I could get from him, and they could still find nothing. So someone came to me and said they would help, and with all the information that I'd collected, and in Tinder there is a location part that tells you how far away someone is, I'd worked out from all the information he'd given me when we were together that he worked somewhere around Canary Wharf. He told me they had offices in Canary Wharf, and I decided to go that way. I'd got a match with him. We were driving towards there. The miles were clocking down as we went closer to that area. And I'm not going to say where we found him eventually, obviously, because it's public. But I turned up, I suddenly realised with all the reverse psychology that this particular place he had always never mentioned. So I said, that's where we need to go. And we pulled up in the car park, and there was a car in the car park with a number plate that was only 1 digit different to the one he used to drive to me in. And 5 minutes later, he walked down the steps of the offices.
Oh, so you got him.
Yeah.
And then what did you say?
Well, I didn't speak to him then. Things happened and I wasn't allowed to speak to him for a couple of weeks. But in that 2 weeks, I researched to find out who he really was. And it was then that I discovered that he was actually married. He'd been married for 16 years. I found out what he'd told me was true and what wasn't out of the fantasy story that he had. A lot of it was based on the truth. He did fly abroad a lot for his work, but not quite as much as he'd intimated. And it was only then that I started realising that I'd been used. Mm. Not for money, but it was for sex.
Right.
And I felt violated.
We looked up the law on this, and you'll know this, Anna.
But yeah.
It's a really strange one. If I say to somebody, I've got a yacht, and I use that to get into bed with them, and
yeah.
then she finds out I don't have a yacht, I'm not breaking the law. And maybe there's a reason, a good reason for that, because in a
yeah.
way, that's everyone does that.
That's
you know?
Right, yeah.
But then what happened to you was a level of deception that borders on criminal, surely.
You would think so, wouldn't you? And there is massive legal disputes, actually, between lawyers in the field about this.
It's rape by deception, it's called, isn't it?
There is. It's rape by fraud now,
right.
actually. In the 1956 Act, it was the procurement of women for sex by deception.
Yeah.
And that was part of that Sex Offences Act. And then it was updated in 2003. And everything was swept under the umbrella of consent. Sex by fraud currently has only been tried for things like people pretending to be doctors, people that are transgender that haven't opened up about their...
Yes, there was one recently where a woman pretended to be a man.
Yeah,
with
that's
the
McNally
out.
Case. Sorry, there is that one, And then we've got the McNally case, which is where a girl had created a relationship online with another girl, and then they met... And she was blindfolded and didn't realise what was happening.
Right.
So that was tried as well. But this guy, who was completely premeditated, he knew exactly what he was doing, creating this fake identity for the purpose of abusing women. And at the time, the span of time that I was with him, there were five other women as well. I was the longest out of that time. But during that 14 months overall, there were five other women. He was doing it for one purpose and one purpose only. He loved the power that he had over us. I mean, I haven't got 6 months to sit and tell you all the things that I know about him now, but it was for one purpose only. He obviously had an addiction.
You did contact his wife, did you?
Eventually I did, when I realised that I wasn't the only one. And he had built enough trust with me, and then I knew the other women as well, to have unprotected sex. So we'd got tested, and I very much felt that if she didn't know what he was up to, then if they still had an active marriage life, then it was only fair that she had the opportunity to do that as well. So I did contact her. And she just sat in silence for 20 minutes while I explained.
And what with the impression you had then that she sort of expected it?
No, she seemed very shocked.
Right.
It was only when I said about the picture that he'd used that she gave any kind of response to me. And it was almost a laugh, as if... It had been joked about before, perhaps, that he looked a little bit like this Bollywood actor. And that was it, yeah.
I could see where the law... It's really interesting, this law issue here, isn't it? Because if I said to you... Go back to the yacht example.
Yes.
I say to you, I've got a yacht and I owe some money on it, right? Mm-hmm. And you give me money and there's no yacht.
Yeah.
Then I get busted. There's no question.
That is fraud, yeah.
If I say I've got a yacht and, as a result, we get into an intimate relationship and there's no yacht, then I'm in the clear.
No.
And you see those two things as actually a similar level of deception. In a way, maybe the one that results in personal intimacy is more serious.
For me, although it's obviously nasty to lose money, money is just money at the end of the day, but you can't just throw off when somebody has violated you emotionally and physically by deception. It's something that I'm not going to be able to shake this. It's affected me very, very deeply, and I had trust issues anyway, and that was part of how he manipulated me, because he knew I had trust issues, and I can't see that changing in the near future.
So it's left something in you
very much
broken.
So and I now know, because I went public, other victims find it easier to come and talk to me about their experiences, and there are far too many of us, and there is definitely something that needs to be done for it. And that's what prompted me to do the petition, and it's what prompts me to keep going now.
Thank you very much. Anna Rowe, who had a relationship with a man we'll call a catfish, with devastating consequences. Joe in Somerset, not her real name, says somebody once tried to woo me online and started asking for money, £9,000. I did a reverse search on his profile on Google and found out he lifted photos from an Instagram account in the US. I contacted the guy and found out the truth. The police have been involved. Shelley emails, the internet is rife with catfish. I encountered one yesterday who I called out about it and who denied it, but then his profile disappeared this morning. I feel for anyone duped by a catfish, but common sense must prevail. It's an absolute jungle out there. I'm 36 years old, says Shelley, and I've been internet dating for years. It feels recently like the fun has gone out of it, because the dishonesty outweighs the genuine. Isn't that interesting, Bobby? Meeting half the people you meet aren't who they say they are. Kate in North, mind you, maybe that's true in the real world as well.
Like I said, we need that litmus paper, don't we?
There's no such thing as a litmus.
No, what I'm saying is wouldn't it be great if we had a trust test?
But what I mean is nobody is 100% who they say they are. They may not even be 100% who they think they are. Kate in Norfolk says, I went on Match.com and a nice guy from America contacted me. He said he was in the forces and trained snipers. We chatted for about 6 months. He said he was in Iraq, so he couldn't phone me, so we didn't speak, and then he asked for money. I refused to send him money, he got unpleasant, and I blocked him. And that basically, in about 70 words, is the description of most modern relationships.